For our scripture reading, take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of 1 John, the third chapter. 1 John, chapter 3, in your Scofield Reference Bible, page 1323, page 1323. We'll begin with the last two verses of chapter 2 and read the first three verses of chapter 3, starting with chapter 2, verse 28, and reading responsively through chapter 3, verse 3. The text verse is the second verse of chapter 3. And as we always do, let's stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. If ye know that He is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of Him. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And let's read verse 3 together. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as He is pure. And let's pray. And Father, what a wonderful privilege and joy to be once again in our church. Thank You for this great work, for this great church, for the greatness of Thy Word. We just cannot comprehend the greatness, the length, the breadth, the height of it. But we revel in its blessedness and in its power. We pray that Thou wouldst bless now this preaching hour. Bless, we pray, our preacher, and give of Thy power in a special way to him, to each of us, as we hear. In Jesus' name, amen.
One of the exciting things about preaching is that you never know what's going to be your emotion when you're delivering the truth that you have to offer. You never know what a sermon's going to do to you while you're preaching it. For example, I never plan my emotions. It's impossible to do so for me anyway. I never do. And when I come to a message, I often wonder, what's that going to do to me when it's preached? And more than usual, I've wondered about this one. I'm preaching on that amazing verse, "Beloved, now we're the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be." Or, may I put it this way, it doth not yet appear what we shall be being. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Now there's an unknown sandwiched in between two knowns. I want you to notice this. The known, now are we the sons of God, doesn't say it doth not yet appear that we're the sons of God. It says, beloved, now or are we the sons of God. That's the known. That ends with this known. We know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. We shall see Him as He is. It does not say it doth not appear what we shall be when He comes. It says we know. When He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Now, in between those two knowns, there's an unknown. It doth not yet appear what we shall be between where we are now, what we know, and where we're going to be, of which we know. So you have a known, an unknown, and a known. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Know that, no doubt, no doubt. It's all settled. 2 and 2 is 4. Sunrise east, sets in the west. Pope's a Catholic, and I know I'm saved. And the Cubs are not going to win the pennant. But it's all set. I mean, it's just 2 and 2 is 4. I'm saved. I hope, beloved, now are we the sons of God. Starts off with a total assurance. Then it ends with an assurance just as strong as that. It says, we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. So there's a known, known. And in between this pillar of knowing I'm saved and this pillar of knowing where I'm going, there is a part that I do not know. It doth not yet appear what we shall be or what we shall be being. I'm going to pray in a minute, and I want to preach to you. I want you to follow me. I believe that I will present to you this morning another one of those truths that will enrich and change, maybe even transform your life. I'm going to speak this morning on the subject, how to enjoy the unknown. How to enjoy. You don't know what tomorrow holds for you. You don't know. I don't know what it holds for me. That man that by the way, two fellows were killed. Both of them out soul winning for a big day. Both of them killed. That man did not know when he said, "Dear God, I'm willing to pay any price for my loved ones to get saved." He did not know what that price was. He knew two things. He knew he was saved. He knew he was going to heaven. Now, between the time originally being saved and the time of getting to heaven, it doth not yet appear. We do not know what's in between that. And that's what causes fear. Some of you this morning are afraid or fearing the unknown. You know you're saved. You know you're going to heaven. But you're afraid of what's going to happen between now and then. You're afraid about employment. You're afraid about finances. You're afraid about your health. You're afraid about your family. It doth not yet appear what we shall be or shall be being. I want to talk to you this morning about how to enjoy that unknown part. Our Heavenly Father, give us the attention of all the people and grant this morning a truth that will take us closer to real joy and contentment. Bless our message this morning. I believe it's the one you want preached. Bless it as it's delivered. May it be heard, comprehended, and may be made practical. Amen. Listen carefully. There are two things the apostle knows here. There is one thing the apostle does not know. First, he knows where he is. He says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God." He knows that. Now, anybody that's got any sense knows that too. I mean, to know that you're God's child. I know this morning my name is written in heaven. I know this morning God does not impute my sins to me. I know this morning I'm redeemed with the blood of the Lamb. I know this morning if I died this moment, I know I'd go to heaven. It's all settled. It's done. The great transaction, turn this down just a bit, please. And it's done. The great transaction's done. I am my Lord's and He is mine. I know. And you could not pay me any amount of money or any amount of anything to let me spend 5 seconds doubting the fact that I'm saved. Gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Now my soul is free. In my heart's a song. Buried in the deepest sea. Yes, that's good enough for me. I shall live eternally. Bless God, my sins are gone. I know where I am. I'm God's child. Now, secondly, not only did the apostle know where he is, but he also knew where he's going. He said, though it does not yet appear what we shall be, we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Not only do I know I'm saved this morning, but I know I'm going to heaven when I die. I said, I know. I don't think I am. I don't hope I am. I don't wish I am. I know. And I don't know how anybody could be so foolish as to live in one heartbeat from eternity and not know that you're going to heaven when you die. The Bible says that there's a heaven for those who are saved and a hell for those who are lost. You say, I don't believe it. That doesn't alter it one bit. But you say, Brother Hiles, I'm too educated to accept that. Then you're too educated for your own good. I'm saying the Bible says it, and the Bible says it, then I believe it because the Bible says it. And so the apostle said, there are two things I know. I know I'm a child of God. Beloved, now are we the sons of God.
Then he says, I know that I'm going to heaven. We shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. I know where I am, and I know the destination. Now then, there is one thing he does not know. He says, I do not know the events on the trip. Now hear me. I do not, listen, if you're going to take a trip somewhere, you get the roadmap down. And you first point where you are. You've got to know where you are. And then you come over here and say, well, this is where I'm going. I know where I am. I know where I'm going. I do not know what detours might be on the road from where I am to where I'm going. I do not know what bridges may be out that may cause me to have to go around another route. I do not know if I have a flat, run out of gas, or have a... I do not know all about that. I do not know the type of cities that I'll go through. I do not know what kind of condition of the highways. But I know two things. I know where I am. I know where I'm going. And bless your little pea-picking heart, I know this morning where I am. I'm God's child. My name is written in heaven. And I'm going to heaven. As sure as there's a God in heaven and a heaven that God has, I am going to heaven. You say you must think you're pretty good. No, I think Jesus is pretty good. And I'm trusting Him and not my goodness, what He's done, not what I do. I know where I am. I am God's child. I know where I am. I am redeemed. I know where I am. I am justified. I know where I'm going. I'm going to heaven. So, the apostle says, there are two things I know, where I am and where I'm going. Then he says, there's one thing I do not know, and that is the journey between here and there. I do not know. He says, it doth not yet appear what we shall be being. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. Now, say this, there are only two of those three things that you can know. You can know that you're saved. 1 John 5 tells us that we can know, we pass from death into life, you can know it. And you can know that you're going to heaven when you die. And if you don't know you're saved, it's your fault. If you don't know you're going to heaven when you die, it's your fault because you can know where you are and you can know where you're going. But you cannot know the other. It is easy to know you're saved. It is easy to know you're going to heaven. But you cannot know between where you are now and where you're going. Now, that's why it's easy for us to fret. We fret about the middle one. Now, the reason we fret about the middle one is we're not totally sure about the first and the last. I talked to a person this week, and this person said to me, I'm doubting that I'm saved. And I want to go to heaven when I die. I don't want to go to hell. I'm doubting I'm saved. What does she say? I am doubting where I am, and I'm doubting where I'm going. Now, it is no surprise to me that she's been having a few problems of being depressed. Why? Because the way to happiness is knowing where you are and where you're going. And the way not to be frustrated about the unknown is to start with a known and end with a known. I know where I am. I know where I'm going. So that means that journey in between. I'm talking about that journey where you got to work and make a living and have children. And lose loved ones, and have burdens, and have heartaches, and have problems, and make decisions, and rear a family, and have a job, and have illnesses. I'm talking about that unknown time between now and heaven. But I'll tell you something. There are advantages in that time if you know where you are now and where you're going. Now, knowing the other two takes the fret away from the one we cannot know. If I know where I am now, I'm saved. If I know where I'm going to heaven when I die. Then that takes the fret away from that between now and there that I do not know and of which I cannot be sure. Now, first is, you get number one and number three all established. I know where I am. If you're here this morning and you do not know that your sins are forgiven before you leave, know it. If you do not know that you're going to heaven when you die, before you leave, know it. You say, preacher, what church do I join? That's not it. You say, what communion do I take? That's not it. What denomination do I belong to? That's not it. What baptism do I embrace? That's not it. What doctrine do I believe? That's not it. It is if you know you are a sinner, and you know because you are a sinner, you're under the condemnation of Almighty God, And you know because of that, you'd go to hell if you died. And if you know that Jesus came to earth as God incarnate, clothed upon in human flesh, and lived a perfect life, born of a virgin, died in your place on the cross, bore in his own body your sins on the tree. After 72 hours, he rose again for your justification. And if you right now will look up to God and say to your God, I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm lost. I know Jesus paid the penalty for my sin. And now, as sincerely as I know how, I receive Jesus as my Savior, as the Lamb of God, as my sacrifice. If you mean that, you can say, Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And you can also say, we know when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now, if you can get number one cared for, I know where I am, and number three cared for, I know where I'm going, then you can eliminate most of the frets about the middle one. It makes what I don't know easier because of the two things I do know. Now, let me illustrate. Number one, I know where the road leads. I know where I'm going. If I know where I'm going, it makes a rough trip a little easier to take. I was going home on a furlough back yonder when I was in the Army, paratrooper. I was stationed in Fort Bragg, North Carolina. I had no money, so I hitchhiked 1,500 miles or so, Dallas, Texas. You ought to see the things I rode on. I rode on a motorcycle behind the guy, hugging him all the way. Behind the guy. I rode about 100 miles on a motorcycle. Bumping up and down like that, and he didn't use any arid or right guard before he left that morning. I rode about 500 miles in the back of a truck. I mean in the back of a truck. I was the cargo. I don't mean in the back seat of a truck. I mean in the truck of a truck. Back in the truck part. Then a fellow stopped me. He had a six-wheel truck load of bricks, and he said he was going to Meridian, Mississippi. He said, if you'll go with me, we'll have to go several, I'll take you all the way to Marshall, Texas. That's 150 miles from Dallas. But he said, we got to stop by, I think he said Meridian, to unload this truck of bricks. Well, it took us hours to unload that stupid truck of bricks. Us, nothing. I unloaded the thing by myself. And he sat in the cab, unloaded the bricks. But you know, in the back of that, on the back of that motorcycle, I said, I'm going home. I'm going home. I'm going home. I'm going home. It's not so bad, cause I'm going home. I got in the back of that truck and tried to get comfortable, and about the time I'd get comfortable, something would roll from the front of the truck, the bed back there, back to where I was. And, when they say a truck bed, they're not talking about a sleeping bed. And as I roll back there and try to get, I'm going home. I'm going home. I'm going home. I'm going home. Every time I picked up some of those bricks and unloaded that big old truck of bricks, I'm going home, I'm going home, I'm going home, I'm going home. I'm saying you know where you're going and you're going home, it makes the ride a lot more bearable. I'm simply saying I'm going home. I know I'm going home. I'm saved. I'm going where Mama is. I'm going where John Rice is. I'm going where my Savior is. I'm going where Lester Roloff is. I'm going home. Now, if I know for sure, number one, beloved, now, I am a son of God. And I know for sure, number three, I know that when he shall appear, I shall be like him. Then number two, that part that I do not know becomes far more bearable. It makes a few bumpy spots worthwhile. It makes the pain easier to bear. It makes the burdens more bearable. It makes the work more worthwhile. Why? Look, okay, so there is a little parenthesis here between what I know and what I know that I don't know. Well, bless God, it's just for a little while. I'm almost 60 years old. If I live to be 70, I got 10 more years what I don't know, and I got millions and billions of years what I do know. So it makes the 10 years, you know, Dorothy Woods, one of our staff members, went to lunch the other day and she saw a little cup and she brought it back to me. It had a little message on the side. On the side it said, if you're pushing 60, that's exercise enough. I found out I'd been doing just exactly the right amount of exercise because I'm pushing 60. But I'm simply saying, okay, what if the road's rough for the next 10 years? I'm going home. What if the burdens are heavy? I'm going home. What if the load is hard to bear? I'm going home. Listen, it won't be near as bad. The unknown won't be near as bad if it's sandwiched between the known. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. I know that. On the other side, We know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. We shall see Him as He is. I know where I am. I know where I'm going. And so if on the journey I've got a few rough spots, it won't be so bad. I know I'm going home. That isn't all. I also know who's leading me home. I also know. If I know this. Now, if you don't know, listen, if you know you're saved but don't know you're going to heaven, that's not enough. If you think you're going to heaven but you don't know for sure you're saved now, that's not enough. You've got to get it all established. I'm saved. I know I'm saved. Redeemed by the blood of Calvary. Name is written in heaven. Sins forgiven. I'm saved. Then you've got over here to say, I know where I'm going. I know where I am. I know where I'm going. And then, if that's the case, you'll know who leads you. You see, He got me where I am. He will get me to my destination. So He will guide me on the journey. Now, sometime in that journey, while He guides me, we may ascend the mountain peaks, where the air is crisp and the sun is bright, and where this fellowship is sweet and there's laughter and joy. It may be on that journey between what I know here and what I know here and that unknown. It may be we'll descend into the valley where it's damp and cold and dark. It may be that we'll come to a cloudy day when I cannot see my hand in front of me. Or it may be we come to a bright sunshiny day where I can see forever. But what does it matter? 'Tis heaven to me, where'er I may be, if He is there. So I know He got me saved. I know that. I know He'll take me to heaven. I know that. And because of this I know, and this I know, the unknown in between looks pretty good because He'll be with me. Sometimes I'll weep on this unknown journey. Sometimes I'll laugh. Sometimes I'll be optimistic and sometimes I'll be pessimistic. But I will always know where I am. I will always know where I'm going. I will always know I'm on the road. And I will always know He leads me. Look, away with complaining. He leadeth me, O blessed thought. All words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whatever I be, wherever I go, still 'tis my God who leadeth me. Away with complaining. Away with griping. Away with lamentation. Away with discontent. Away with sadness. Away with blueness. So we don't know from this known to this known. There's a great unknown. But blessed be God, if we're sure on this known, He put me here, and this known, He will take me there. Then we can be sure about this, He will lead me through the unknown path. That isn't all. Because I know this, number one, I'm a son of God. And because I know this, number three, I'm going to heaven when I die for sure. Not only do I know that the unknown in between is leading me to heaven, and that He is with me during this unknown period. But know this. I know He who planned the salvation, I'm sure of here. And He who planned the heaven, I'm sure of here, will plan me a mighty good trip in between. Now listen, look at me. You fret too much. You worry too much. Huh? I'm about to fall apart. Well, pull yourself back together. Oh, my whole world is pulled out from under me. Well, okay, then on Christ the solid rock stand. You don't have to have your whole world pulled out. Look, none of us knows what's going to happen tomorrow. But if we know where we are today and where we're going eventually, He who is the planner of the unknown planned the great salvation plan. And He who plans the unknown has planned heaven and its beauties. If I know I'm saved by His plan and I'll be in a heaven built according to His plan, then bless God, between here and there, I bet He has a good plan for me. I don't know what it is, but I believe it's going to be a good one.
Ever stop and think about the greatness of the plan of salvation that put you now to know this? Man's a sinner. Man has to pay for his sin. God loved man enough so God became flesh. And for 33 years filled full and fulfilled the law. Went to Calvary. Took upon your sin, himself, your sins and my sins. With our sins charged to his record, God the Father said, guilty! 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 And the Lord Jesus Christ dipped his own soul to the torments of the damned into hell and paid our penalty for us as our sacrifice, our substitute. And now it's paid. Jesus paid it all. What a wonderful plan. Now, if it's a wonderful plan, it must come from a wonderful planner. Now, that's where I am now. Did you ever stop and think about what a wonderful plan God made for us in the future in heaven? Streets of gold. Gates of pearl. Jesus is the light of the city. No weeping. No sorrow. No disease. No cancer. No broken hearts. No broken dreams. No bursted air castles. No heartbreak. No sadness. No bereavement. No cemeteries. No death. No cancer. No leukemia. No Hodgkin's disease. I'm simply saying, in a city, four square, what a wonderful thing that God has planned for me in heaven. Now, don't you think that He who planned that wonderful salvation plan that makes me know what I have, and He who planned that wonderful city that makes me know where I'm going, don't you think if He planned that plan of salvation and that plan of heaven, don't you think He might can plan my life in between and the unknown? Oh, but I don't know what the future holds. But bless God, you know who holds the future. The one that planned the plan of salvation. Illustration. This is a not very good illustration. But during pastor school, every time Bill McSpadden came through that door, there's electricity in this room. Every time Dan Wolf came out through that door, there's electricity in this room. Now, why? Not one single person here outside that little crowd of folks knew what the skit was. That little stupid skit. Stupid. I mean, real stupid. Corn, French fried. But everybody. Now, why? They didn't know what the skit was going to be, and we all sat there waiting and looking, wonder what's going to happen. You know why? Because we've seen their skits before. And brother, we had enjoyed their skit so much before, we knew they were pretty good skitters. And boy, we sat there and we couldn't wait. Now, I did not want to know what the skit was coming on because I knew the skit they had planned and the skit that they had used. And bless God, I know the plan that Jesus made for me so I can say, now am I a son of God. I also know the plan He's made for me in the city which hath foundations, whose builder and ruler is God. I know it. And if He could make such a wonderful plan for my position now and such a wonderful plan for my destination then, I'll guarantee you I can't wait to see what He has for tomorrow. So trust Him. Trust Him. He knows your problems. He's the guide. He's the leader. He's planned it. I preach so often, I have so often around the country, my little sermon from Proverbs 3:6. In that sermon, I built a wall, imaginary wall down in the middle of the building. And I put on this side of the wall the first six words of Proverbs 3:6, in all thy ways acknowledge Him. I put on this side of that wall the last six words, and He shall direct thy paths. And I say, now look, these six words are yours. Acknowledge Him. Praise Him. Preach Him. Teach Him. Exalt Him. Sing of Him. And these six words are His. He shall direct thy paths. Now our problem is, we want to get off of our side onto God's side. And that's why you fret. You're trying to direct your path. Brother, you just sit down in a seat and let the guide take you on the journey. All thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. That's His job, not yours. They say that I'm facing the hardest part of my life, or the trip. I'll be 60. I'm not sure that's right. Now, these Best Years Club folks are the biggest swingers we have in this church, I'll guarantee you for sure. Folks who've been to youth activities and Best Years meetings say young people are sort of old and dull. Norma Anderson went with them to Hawaii. You wouldn't believe the things she did. Took her 3 days at this altar to get right with God. But they say, I'm entering the time of my life, in my 60s, in a few months, when I've got more to do and less strength to do it. When I have a bigger load to carry and less ability to carry the load, I do not know. But I'll be honest with you, there are times I wonder how I'll make it. There are times when I'll stop and think, how can I, in my 60s and maybe 70s, how can I keep getting fresh truths and fresh sermons? How can I keep shining new light on old scriptures? How can I do it? I'll tell you how you do it. You know what's here. You know you're going here. And He directs you all the way through. I do not know what the next 10 years of my life holds. I do not know how long this old voice can keep preaching. I do not know. I know I'm saved. Brother, I know it. I know it. K-N-O-W. I know it. And I know I'm going to heaven. That's sure. No doubt about it. But I do not know what the next 10 years holds. But I got a sneaking suspicion that he that planned what I do know over here and what I do know over here can take care of what I don't know in here. I do not know how, what the next 10 years, 15, 20, 25, I don't know what they hold. But if I know where I am, and if I know where I'm going, I can look forward with delight to the intervening years, because the road leads to heaven. And because He is my guide. And because He is with me. And because He who planned the most amazing plan known to mankind, called the plan of salvation, and He who planned the heavenly city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband, He who gave me what I know I'm saved, and gave me what I know I'm going to heaven, He certainly can make my plans in between. I wish I could walk up and down the aisles this morning. I wish I could stop in many of your seats. I wish I could put my hand out to you individually and shake your hand and say, neighbor, don't fret. Don't fret. Just know the two things you can know, and trust Him that made those two things to take care of the things you don't know. I walk out this door Sunday morning, walk down those stairs, and right over there outside is a little Usually there's a little boy waiting for me. He has a disease. He'll never be totally normal. Little head sort of wobbles like that. But ah, what a beautiful smile. And he'll smile, and I'll pat him on the cheek, say something good to him. It's hard for me to realize his mother could be a mother with a burdened heart like that. I told the little boy's grandmother this week, I said, told me just proper. I said, Meredith, it's a little hard for me to accept our girls who grew up in our church, the fact that they have to face the burdens of life and the heartaches of life. Because they'll always be teenagers to me. I don't care what they are, how old they get, they're always my young'uns. But that little boy brings an awful lot of joy to me. I did not know when I united that couple in holy matrimony, the fruit of their love would be a little boy that would never be normal. I did not know that. But He does. And He planned it for a purpose. I wish I could walk up to everybody in the room this morning whose heart is broken, whose heart's heavy. I wish I could put my arm out and extend it to you and take your hand and say, beloved,
I cannot tell you why things happen in life. I cannot tell you why this period of the unknown is such a tough period, seemingly. But I'll guarantee you one thing. If you'll get settled on this one thing you can know, we're the sons of God. And the last thing you can know, I'm going to heaven when I die. Then that which you cannot know will be for His good and for your good. I do not know. I did not know when I turned 50. Got a letter from Charlie Hand the other day. He's about to turn 60. He said, from May 25th till September 25th, you will not hear a word from me. Dr. Bob Gray is to be 60 in May also. And every decade, he gets to one decade, and I'm still in the other. I write him letters and thank him for the influence he's been, like a father to me all these years. And I'll send him a telegram from a young man in his 50s to an old man in his 60s. But if somebody just said to me, Brother Howells, I'll tell you, when I had my 50th birthday, which was 3 years ago, seemingly, but I had my 50th birthday, if somebody had said to me, God wants to tell you everything that's going to happen, I wouldn't have wanted to know. I wouldn't have wanted to know. But I want you to know that for all these 10 years, my guide's been leading me. He's never forsaken me. I do not know what the next decade will hold in my life. But I know that He's my Savior, and I'm His child. And I know when I die, I'm going to heaven. And I'll bet you $1.98 in between what I know here and what I know there, He's going to make it turn out for the best. I know that all things work together for good to those who love God, those that are called according to His purpose. I know where I am. And I know where I'm going. And I know who plans the trip in between. And He who planned the marvelous redemptive plan, and He who drew the plans and specifications for the holy city and built it by His own plans and specifications, if He can give me this that I know, that is so wonderful, and this that I know, that is so wonderful, I'm just going to trust Him to make it a wonderful journey between here, our Heavenly Father.